Listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Benefit from meeting on a regular basis with a small group of individuals to learn and grow together? Circles of friends and co-workers are meeting faithfully in living rooms, office cafeterias, and other venues. One might ask the question, what makes these circles so fruitful in the lives of those who participate? And how does a personal investment of time and attention on a regular basis build well-being for all members? Today, we'll learn how to start a circle of your own and how to maintain its integrity and mutual support with our guest today, Dr. Lauren J. Oliver. Lauren Oliver received her PhD in clinical psychology from UCLA and her baccalaureate degree from Harvard University. She currently provides coaching and organization development consultations for leaders, businesses, organizations, families, and individuals. She was co-founder with Dr. Simmons of the California nonprofit Support Group Network, and is the co-author with Bonnie Burstein of Circle Culture, Tools for Cooperative Work. Join us for the next hour as we explore tools for a more collaborative and cooperative society with our guest, Dr. Lauren J. Oliver. I'm speaking with Lauren at her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you so much, Justine. What a warm and wonderful welcome. And I'm so delighted to be with you today. New Dimensions has been in my life for a long time, and you bring so much wisdom to the world through your work and so much opportunity for all of us to reflect on what we can possibly become as individuals and as a society. Thank you.
Oh, how very, very sweet of you to say. And I'm just so excited to be with you. I've traveled with you around the world, so to speak. I mean, we've been in Toronto together. We've been in Salt Lake City and just recently in Chicago at the Parliament of World Religions. And that's where I first met you, I think, at the Parliament. And it was so wonderful to meet you there and to now have this relationship with you. And I'm so excited about the work that you are doing in spreading circle culture. I mean, it really is truly profound work and changing our paradigm. So what I'd love to talk about, first of all, is where your beginnings, when you first thought about team building and circles, and where did it start for you, Lauren?
What a great question, Justine. You know, just one quick thought. I always begin circle by centering our time together. And so I'd love to do that with you for a moment. And I'll just use a brief quote that has always inspired me and inspired my work in Circle, and then I will turn to your question. So my quote is, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." So said Margaret Mead. So is the work of New Dimensions. So is the work of Circle Culture. So, you know, when I was a child, Justine, my brother, my youngest brother of five children, was born with special needs. And his presence in our family definitely changed our family, because it was very important that we paid attention to his special needs. And I saw very quickly there were a couple of other children in our neighborhood who also had Down syndrome, and who, some of whom were very rudely teased and left out of the children's games and so forth. And right away, my compassion for my brother and other people with special needs was born and sharpened. And I think that always gave me a perspective on paying attention to who's being left out and who's being included and brought in. And when I was in high school, I lived in a widely white environment, and there were only a few Black children in the school. One was a very tall and rather large girl, young Black woman, who was from the nearby Air Force base. And she came into the school, and she had no friends, and she would sit by herself at lunchtime. And sometimes she would just roam around. Well, I began to sit with her at lunchtime because I felt that, you know, this is not right for someone to be sitting all alone and having no one there for them. And then when I got to college, a friend of mine early on decided to do a survey as part of a research program that she was in, to see what were the main concerns of undergraduates, particularly freshmen at Harvard. And what she found was that many felt that they were the one mistake at Harvard, that they should not have been selected, that they did not belong, that they were not adequate to the requirements for that school and that environment. I found this shocking, and so did a group of us who decided that we would start a peer counseling program in the freshman yard, and particularly aimed for freshmen. But we knew that that sense of being not enough and being not really belonging was more widespread than just in the freshman class. So I've just been drawn in those ways and in others to how can we make the playing field equal? How can we give everyone a chance to voice their concerns, speak from their heart, feel a sense of connection and belonging? And is there a way to make that happen? So actually, in that peer counseling program, of course, it ended up mostly being the team of us who started the peer counseling program and met regularly with our advisor and with one another, that felt like a real circle. But when I got to grad school, then I discovered Circle. And yeah, it was kind of lonely. You know, it's always lonely moving to a new town and starting in a new school. And, you know, who do you know? Who do you talk to? Well, a friend of mine said to me, "I think you should check out the open therapy circle. It's called radical therapy. It wasn't really therapy per se. It was a group environment that was started by people who'd been trained in transactional analysis and who knew that the loneliness that so many people experience is a very unhealthy state and that we need community. So I went over to this meeting and I was really amazed, Justine, because there were people of every age and type. And I mean, there was a woman who was 77 years old, you know, talking about how she'd struggled with retirement. She was feeling pretty lonely. There was someone who had just started college and who was scared that they were going to flunk out. There was a girl who was working as a house cleaner in the local neighborhood, just people of all walks of life. And they spoke openly and directly to one another. And I was very impressed because I've not always been comfortable in circles or groups. You know, I feel often shy in a group and it's not easy for me to just speak up. But I found it easy there because others were just speaking so openly. And that really turned my head. It made me realize that my wish, not only to be a clinical psychologist, but to be a community psychologist and build community, that this was a model I wanted to take forward. So that was really, those are the starting moments for me.
Oh, how wonderful for you to have that experience of such a diversity in that early circle in your graduate school years. And so it begs the question, what was it in that circle that fostered safety, that people could feel that they could just share of themselves?
Wow. There were a number of aspects that I think worked in that direction. One is we did center the circle. And so that just gave a moment for everyone to get present. And then we would do check-in. So everyone would say their name, maybe say a little bit about how they were feeling today or this evening, if they had some wish to talk about a concern on their mind or on their heart, and they would be able to take some time for themselves to talk about what was up for them. And that itself led to time sharing. Usually the facilitator would say, well, would you like 5 minutes or would you like 10 minutes to talk? So people would actually sign up for time. And that meant they could have the floor for a little while without any interruption. And that also meant there was a chance for everyone to ask for what they needed.
So I want to go more deeply into that because that's a really major part of circling. But I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Dr. Lauren J. Oliver, and she is co-author of Circle Culture, Tools for Cooperative Work. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, and that is circleculture.us. circleculture.us, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Lauren J. Oliver, and we're talking about circle culture, which is the name of her book that she has co-authored. So we're talking about timekeeping in a circle for those people who have never had the opportunity to really speak their hearts and what's on their minds. They might just go on and on and on. And if the circle is going to meet for a couple of hours, and let's say there are seven people in the circle or five people in the circle, well, they could take up the whole hour or so. So tell us about the critical part of circling that you mentioned and brought up, and that's the part of timekeeping.
Yes. Time sharing, usually, I would say way back when, the facilitator would keep track of the time, but we would actually use a board and people would put their name and put the amount of time that they wanted to have to speak. Now we always use a timekeeper as one of the roles, one of the leadership roles in circle, so that when I'm getting close to the end of my time, someone will give me a minute or a 30-second cue to say, okay, time to wind it up. You're getting close to your time. And then I can do that so that I don't run over, and so I can step back and leave time for other people to speak. Because it's true, Justine, in so many groups we're in, there will be monopolizers who just go on and on and on. Or there will be people who just have a different agenda. So they may try to interrupt us and tell us their idea instead of what we wish to express. And then also, there are always people who feel more shy and who won't burst in to a conversation to get a chance to speak. And if they don't know that they can, they too can have time, they can ask for time, and that that will be respected, they don't have to fight their way in, then again, there's an equal playing field for people to take their turn and speak and be heard and be listened to.
Recently, when we were together in Chicago, I learned a new term for that, and it's time guardian. I really like that term, a guardian of the time. And there was someone who brought in a little application that you can get on your phone, your smartphone, and it just does this really sweet little chime. And it doesn't like disrupt the whole circle, but it does give people the idea, oh, that time has flown by. I know that for myself, maybe I'm talking and I don't keep track of time. So I appreciate getting that little reminder. So that's one thing. And I know that you mentioned something about being shy, and many people are not used to really speaking up and having that invitation. So having everyone, I want to talk about two things, about having everyone have a time to speak and really encouraging people to do it, even if it's just in silence. If they don't want to say anything, that silence is okay too, as people get used to having that space of time for themselves in whatever way they want to use it. And secondly, the idea you have already mentioned about leadership and a facilitator. So I want to talk about both of those two things, if you can hold that both and in your consciousness and your answer.
Wonderful. Yes, wonderful. Well, you know, again, with time sharing, I don't have to sign up for time if I really don't want to. But with it being modeled around me that most people are taking some time to say what's up for them, then I become comfortable. So maybe the first time I go to circle or the second time, I may not quite get there. Although, even in check-in, I am asked, what is my name, and usually what's going on, a little bit about what's going on with me. What mood am I in? Or sometimes we use the phrase inner space. And, so asked about how you're doing right now.
Some people talk about, give us a weather report of your inner weather is
inner
another way.
Weather. I love that. I love that. That's a good one. And then actually, one of our colleagues, Leslie Lanes, introduced me to the rose, the thorn, and the bloom. And so I can talk about what's going on in terms of what's some new thing blooming. What's a thorn that's kind of poking at me? And, really get that sense of the whole rose that's in my life and that I can share all the both and.
That's lovely. Yes.
And as for leadership, we have several roles that we regularly ask people to volunteer for in Circle. So facilitator is one, and that person really wants to keep things moving because we do have a several-step process that is predictable so that when I come to Circle, it will essentially take a form that happens the same way each time. It'll be different because we're all different and we bring different experiences, but as I mentioned, we start with centering and check in, and then we do volunteer for leadership, for shared leadership, and then we do the work in Circle. And after that, we clear the air, which I can speak of a little later, and we always end with appreciations, acknowledgement, gratitude. We want to leave with the fullness of our hearts and expressed with care and joy.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Like in shared leadership, in my experience, let's say we ask at the end of the circle, is anybody going to volunteer? We'd love a volunteer for next time.
Right.
And then let's say I raise my hand and I say, okay, I'll volunteer. And what I might do is I might send out in between time thoughts on the next time we meet, I'd like for us to focus on this, whatever it is, and maybe come up with some sort of focus and get an agreement from the group or maybe a couple of focuses so that the group say, oh, yeah, let's do that. So that we have an agreed upon focus for the next time we meet, and a facilitator might be volunteering to give some thought to that.
That's a very helpful way for a facilitator to bring the group's mind, shall we say, together even before we begin our meeting. And I would say in most ongoing circles, and so there are open circles that are drop-in and anyone can come, but then there are also closed circles, which are a certain set of people who've decided to meet in my experience, usually once a week or once every 2 weeks, so that there's really solid continuity. And as you say, different people volunteer as facilitator, and they often will send an email out to others to remind them of what's coming up, what date and time. Usually it's the same day and the same time of day, often the same place, but it may rotate to different homes. And a theme is often referred to, or a quote for people to think about. And then people bring what's up for them also. And in probably one of the longest running circles that I've been in, when I moved to Humboldt County and we started a circle there, and it's still going. It's, I believe, in its 18th year. I'm no longer living there, but I stay in touch with them. And we developed kind of a list of topics that we wanted to discuss. And so we would plan on making time for one topic or another.
Oh, that's wonderful. I just want to disclose I'm part of two circles, both of which are closed circles, and they've been meeting for over 40 years. One is for 46 years, the same people, and the other one just under that, same people, for all of that time. And the history that we have created together is spectacular. I mean, the trust and the knowledge we have of each other and supporting each other. But I'd love to for you to say something about, because you mentioned open circle and closed circles.
Yes.
Open circles. Okay, that's a bit of a challenge. When you say open circle, and I think about different people coming in, and there's not a continuity of the same people. There might be a lot of the same people, but then there are new people kind of coming in, and it has its challenges. Say something about that, Lauren. That's a big topic, I think.
It is a big topic, Justine. And of course, at the Parliament, where we were just in Chicago, there were a number of open circles held. It is challenging to keep continuity. But on the other hand, there are many people who have not yet experienced being in a circle. And they may not be ready to say, yes, I want to be in a circle now. I want to start a closed circle for myself and with my, you know, my good friend, Justine, lets us do it. So they may, you know, being in a circle, experiencing it is so different from hearing it talked about. There's just no way to describe it when it's just being described, sitting in a circle. It has that synergy of energies between people, that sense of, wow, there's common ground between us, even if we come from different geographies, different backgrounds, coming with different intentions, we discover the common ground. And it's very powerful, actually, to hold open circles as a place for people to learn about circle, to get an experience that they may well want to continue.
I'm here with Dr. Lauren J. Oliver, and she is a co-author with Bonnie Burstein of Circle Culture, Tools for Cooperative Work. And if you want to know more about the work, please go to her website, circleculture.us. That's circleculture.us, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Lauren J. Oliver, and we're talking about circle work and circle culture, the name of her book.